The first of the three signs this morning, the wind. The sound of a violent rushing wind. How many of you have ever been in harm's way of a tornado up close and personal? What does it sound like? A train coming. That's what I've always heard. The sound of a train coming. Somehow I think those of you who have heard that may be in a better place to imagine what those who were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit heard than the rest of us. In our neighborhood, we have a tornado warning signal. It has sounded many times and we have never heard it, or seldom heard it. And so we've kind of talked, Janet and I have talked between ourselves, thought, you know, what we need to do, the tornado warning we may or may not hear, depending on if the television is on or I'm listening to some of my music rather loudly, whatever we may be engrossed in, or in the middle of a dead sleep in the middle of the night. But the sound that people describe of that freight train approaching, I think that might actually wake us up, and we might hear that over the music. And we have a plan. We don't have a basement in our house, but just outside the master bedroom, going out into the hallway, there's one of those small little half baths, a guest bath, powder room, I think they call it, that doesn't have any exterior walls and no windows. If a tornado comes our way, that's going to be the safest place for us to be. And so we have a plan that if we hear that sound, we're rolling out of the bed or whatever room we're in, and we're making a dash for that little room. The wind of God does many things. One thing is, we know from Scripture, is it blows away chaff. Both in Matthew 3 and in Luke 3, we hear about the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, and he has a winnowing fork in his hand. And if you know anything about the winnowing, I only know this from reading because I've never seen this or been a part of the process. But you have to get that husk, the chaff, the throwaway stuff off the precious grains of wheat. And the winnowing fork gets it worked up, and the wind then blows the chaff away. The kernels of wheat, the grains, are heavy enough to settle back down, but the wind then blows it away. It says that he uses his winnowing fork to clean the threshing floor, to work it all up, to get the stuff all up off the floor into the wind, to gather his grain so then he can burn the chaff. If you've ever heard tornado survivors talk about a storm that they've just been through, sometimes they've lost everything. The house that was there is absolutely gone. It may still be in some pieces, but it's not in the same geographical location. It's not the same address anymore. It may be scattered to the winds. But I've heard tornado survivor after tornado survivor being interviewed on the different news channels, and they say, yeah, I've lost everything, but you know what? My wife or my husband and my daughter or my son, my babies, my grandmother, they're all okay, so I'm okay. And things that they once held dear in one moment paled and almost became like chaff to them. It's okay that the wind blew those things away because the precious kernels of wheat, the grains of wheat, were still there. I chatted with a student here who said that when they came to a session of the IWS, that they brought with them a lifetime of hell. And that something happened in the times of worship here. And over the weeks and months, as God, the wind of God began to break in, some of that baggage, that chaff, that stuff that we hold on to for whatever reason, began to get blown away. I looked into that student's eyes and I saw a sweetness and a tenderness, because it was something that only the Holy Spirit could do. Another thing that the wind of God does, another thing that wind does, and we see this anytime we're near the water and you have sailing aficionados, wind fills sails. and it can propel the boat to where it needs to go. And sometimes God's calling you to a place where you just don't have the strength to get to. Only the wind of God can fill your sails and propel you on to where He wants you to be, where you need to be, when you don't have the strength to get there yourself. But we hear the sound of the wind. We hear that freight train coming, and it scares us to death, and we make a mad dash for the little half bath to get out of the way, whatever that little half bath is for you, where you can hide from the freight train that's coming, the wind of God. And it's only coming to do good things. It's only coming to do God's work in us. Carla Waterman, you'll especially get a kick out of this, but I'm going to tell a story about a hurricane that came through Texas when I was 11, 12 years old, 13, the early 60s, 61, 62, Hurricane Carla. I have a very clear recollection of Hurricane Carla. And it came right up Highway 45. If you've ever been in Houston, Highway 45 starts at Galveston Island. It comes right up through Houston, keeps going right on up through Dallas, north and south. Hurricane Carla came in quite near Highway 45, and it just made a beeline up Highway 45 and came right across Houston. And the wind, I remember when the storm came across our house, I remember shingles being blown off, and we were scared to death. And then the eye of the storm began to pass over. And I can remember walking outside into the eye of the storm, and I knew not to stay too long because the other wall of that hurricane was going to come through. But in the eye of that storm, there was sunshine. It was clear. It was calm. It was quiet as could be. It was peaceful. And there was this incredible calm that just swept over us. And then pretty soon we hightailed it back in because we knew the wind was coming again. But somehow I think what we need to do when we hear the freight train is lean into the wind. Lean into the storm, because God's calling us right into the very eye of the storm, right to His very heart, where we can rest and be at peace, and He can rest in us. There's a poem, and I've not read this aloud many times, but I want to read some of this poem to you. It's a poem that I've cherished since I was a kid. I had it in my Bible when I was a young teenager. And it's about this process that God is about with all of us. I'm only going to read the beginning and the end, and it pains me, probably like I was chatting with Lester Ruth yesterday and talking about having to cover 300 years of church history in 2 or 3 hours of lecture. And I hate to cut the heart out of this poem, but time constraints will only let me read the beginnings and the ending, and I recommend that you look it up online. You can find it easily if the poem touches you. It's called The Hound of Heaven. Many of you know it. I fled Him down the nights and down the days. I fled Him down the arches of the years. I fled Him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from Him. And under running laughter, up vistaed hopes I sped and shot, precipitated adown titanic glooms of chasmed fears. From those strong feet that followed after, but with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, they beat, and a voice beat, more instant than the feet. All things betray thee who betrayest me. And then the end. Halts by me that footfall. Is my gloom, after all, shade of His hand outstretched caressingly? Ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am He whom thou seekest. Thou dravest love from thee who dravest me. And the one that we're so afraid will catch us is the only safe one in whose arms to be. And whatever baggage we're carrying, and we've all got some, and like we've said before, it's hard to unpack. You see those backpackers, they've been on the trail a long time. They can't get that pack off by themselves. It's become part of their own frame. If they try to unload it themselves, they'll fall over backwards. They have to help each other get it off. Let's be the instruments of the Holy Spirit for each other, listening to each other's burdens, helping each other unpack, and ultimately turning our hearts to Him, the only one who can get these packs off of us. I love the lion in the Chronicles of Narnia, when the kids ask the beavers, when they hear about this fierce lion Aslan, is he safe? Sounds scary to me. Is he safe? And the answer, of course, you all know it. No, he's not safe, but he's good. And the great lion of the tribe of Judah is not safe, but he is so good. Let's let him breathe his breath on us, the very wind of God, the wind of the Holy Spirit. It will ruin us for all else but loving relationship with him and loving relationship with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's prepare our hearts for a moment of silence.